Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Harry Palmer is here to commence another chapter of Office Wife. Taken by and large, I've been having a pretty rotten run these last few weeks. Stella Bronson getting herself fired was a bad show. I was counting on her to break up the Happy Pilgrim home so that I could move in. I was cultivating Marcia and fanning the good old flames of jealousy. And that, taking Marcia around, I mean, costs money. I'm flat broke. And back to Winner since I don't know when, and I can scarcely be blamed for what I'm trying to bring off now. If I can't get rid of Pilgrim one way, just have to cook his goose another, don't I? There's a little scheme in the wind to collect some money at Tressida Bendigo and Company's expense and leave poor old Geoffrey holding the baby.
Just a div, Harry. Barbara, for you is a capital M for managing and a capital D for director. Do this letter once again, please. Now, sorry, old boy. What are you saying?
Oh, it's all right. What's happening about that thing I broached the other day about the invoices? Have you heard any more?
From Fleming? No, not yet.
He had a conference, I believe, yesterday afternoon.
Well, I won't ask him this afternoon, if you don't mind. Barbara, shoot down to the files room and take 10 minutes looking for that Robertson-Archer letter I mentioned, would you? Good girl. Take your time.
Do you want the letter, or are you just getting rid of her?
Getting rid of her. Look here, Harry. I can't talk to you now. I've just seen old Bendigo. We had our frightful flap.
What about?
Bronson, if I see her again, I'm out.
Like that, is it?
And how? I came nearer to blowing my top completely than I can ever remember. Don't be surprised if I'm not here in the morning.
Oh, can't be a fat head, old man. You wouldn't walk out, would you?
Well, it's just like that. It only needs one other little thing to come on top of the rest, and they can take my job and throw it in the deep blue sea.
You better finish early and come and have a drink.
How early?
Well, 4:30-ish.
Yeah, I'll pick you up on the way out. You probably think I'm just having temperament or something. I've threatened to resign before and all that.
Oh, forget it for now. There's a good chap.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, Mr. Fleming?
Come up to my office, will you, Jeff, at once?
Right away, Mr. Fleming.
Well, I'll see you at 4:30. We'll have to do something to buck you up.
Tressida Bendigo and Company? Mr. Campbell, just a moment, please. I'll put you through. There you are. Hi, Harry.
Hi, Poppet. I'm having a drink with Jeff Pilgrim at 4:30. You better wait for me.
Gee, don't I ever get anything but pushed around.
Oh, it won't be late. Oh, listen, anything on the grapevine lately?
Old Percy Fleming's getting into hot water because he forgot to meet his wife.
Oh, hang Percy Fleming. What about Pilgrim?
I haven't heard one single thing for days. It's different with Stella Bronson gone. He rang her once, but that was days ago.
No, that's no good. I want something, just something to send him home in a rage.
Why? What's up?
I'll tell you later. No time now. You're sure there's not a single snippet of dirt?
Well, no. But I'll keep listening. Hadn't you better talk to me from upstairs? He might catch us or something.
Not a chance. He's up with Percy Fleming. Well, I'll see you later, Poppet.
Fine now. Oh, Harry!
What?
Come here quickly. I just thought of something.
Well, come on, shake it up. What is it?
Mr. Fleming rang Mr. Bendigo a few days ago and said that Barbara Fraser wouldn't be a scrap of good as Jeff's secretary, but Marcia had absolutely insisted that she...
I'm sorry to have to say this, but you'll have to take more care of your clients. Here's a serious complaint from Bates Hemingway.
Oh, what's the matter, sir?
They were supposed to quote certain rates by the 14th of the month so that they could submit a price on some pretty important business.
Yes, well, I've attended to that.
I'm afraid you must have missed it. They're very hot under the collar.
But I tell you, sir, those rates were drawn up and given to Miss Fraser to type and forward.
Bates Hemingway didn't get them. Now I don't want to hear any excuses. There's no excuse. If you can't look after ordinary routine...
I can't understand it, sir.
Well, I can. You'll have to do better. Dear me, we don't want to have to lay down the law to you, Jeff. But if you can't handle your accounts, for heaven's sake, hand them over to someone who can. I'm very annoyed about this. It's a case of pure slackness. You'll have to give more time to business and less to your domestic wrangling.
More time to business? What the devil does this firm expect? I've been coming back here 3 nights out of 4 to do the work any decent secretary can do. You foisted the Fraser girl on me. She's not worth a packet of pins.
You can't get out of this by blaming your secretary. It's your responsibility.
I'm aware of that, but why saddle me with a girl who's no use? I do my own work, she does hers, and I have to go and do it all over again.
Miss Fraser's always been very satisfactory in the past.
That was working an IBM machine. She's a perfectly pleasant little girl, but she's just not a secretary's bootlace for what I want.
Jeff Pilgrim. I think it's less than admirable of you to impugn little Miss Fraser for your own incompetence.
What's that? What are you saying to me, sir? Well, if that's the way you feel, you better take every damned account of mine and see if you can handle it better yourself. And while you're about it, see how you get on trying to rely on Barbara Fraser.
Jeff, leave my office.
I want this cleared up now.
Leave my office and come back when you calm down.
Mr. Fleming, I refuse to be a clay pigeon to be shot at for
every compound... I won't ask you again at once, if you please. Outside. And kindly stay in your own office until you're called. Trouble is, I know he's right about that girl, but what can I do? Oh, good gracious me, no wonder chaps get ulcers.
How's the blood pressure, old boy? Down a notch or two yet?
I'd have liked to crown Fleming with his own desk set. And I jolly near did.
It must have been quite a scene. Yes, please, Jeff. Take it all round, you know, Jeff. It was a pretty rotten show. Poor little Barbara's hopeless. Even Percy Fleming should know that.
Percy Fleming hasn't the executive ability of a half-trained Labrador retriever. The doddering old blockhead.
Stop fuming again. Hey, take it easy. You're downing him a bit fast, aren't you?
Oh, why not?
Yes, why not? Anyway, under the circumstances, old man, I shouldn't have blamed you if we'd stamped out and left them hanging. It's not as if old Percy Fleming didn't know.
Fleming didn't know what?
What? Why, the circumstances of Barbara stepping into La Bronson's shoes, of course.
What are you talking about? What circumstances?
Oh, hang it, Chef. You don't have to cover up for her on my account. I know how you feel about being your own skipper sort of thing. It always beats me why you let Marcia get away with it.
Now, hang on a minute. Where does Marcia come in?
You mean you don't know? Oh, good Lord, I better shut up.
You won't shut up. What shouldn't I let Marcia get away with?
Well, you'd better ask her. I'm terribly sorry if I put my foot in it.
Don't hum and haw, Palmer. What's been going on?
Well, you're not going to like this.
Out with it.
Well, I've stuck my neck out this time, so go easy with the hatchet. Marcia arranged for little Barbara to replace Stella.
She did? How the devil do you know?
Millie was back late one night and couldn't help overhearing Fleming and the old man. Fleming was taking your part, and Bendigo was saying that Marcia absolutely insisted on choosing your secretaries. She didn't care whether they were good, bad, or indifferent. Just so long as they weren't likely to take your eye or something.
Is this on the level, Harry? If it's not, so help me, I'll take you apart.
Now, would I stand here and pitch you a line at a time like this?
Marcia promised me faithfully that once Stella was gone, it was hands off. And while she was promising, she was twisting old Bendigo around her fingers. That makes me sick.
Now, don't go home like this. You'll only make it worse. Have another noggin and get a grip on yourself.
Grip on myself? Wait till I get a grip on myself.
Now, hang on, Jeff. Wait a couple... There he goes. See you sometime, Jeff. But not, I fear, me at Tressida Bendigo and Company.
Come here, Marcia. Sit down. And if you move a muscle or open your mouth out of turn, I'll really let myself go.
What's the matter?
How does Barbara Fraser come to be my secretary?
I suppose Mr. Fleming...
How does Barbara Fraser come to be my secretary? Now, don't lie. You're smooth, but this time, see if you can tell the truth. Well?
Well, I told Uncle Tressida...
Ever since we were married, you've known the stand I take in this sort of thing. I had no peace with you while Stella was in my office, and I let you get away with some pretty contemptible tricks to clear her out. Then you promised faithfully you were through with meddling and using your uncle to organize my business as well as our private life, didn't you?
I wasn't going to have you...
Did you promise or didn't you?
Well, what if I did? Couldn't get anyone from outside, and I thought she'd be best.
You didn't think anything of the kind. You looked round the office and picked out the quietest, meekest, plainest little chippy you could find. And when your miserable, jaundiced eye lit on Barbara Fraser, you said, "That's the girl for my husband. No trouble there."
Well, why shouldn't I? Stella Bronson, why should I have to go through it all again with some other hungry man-hunting...
You can save your breath from here on.
Where are you going?
And what does one generally do with a suitcase? I'm packing.
Jeff, you're not. You're not walking out on me. I won't let you.
I'm walking out on you, and you can like it or not, just as you please. Now, let me open the water.
No, I won't move. Jeff, you can't do this. You can't.
Come on, Marcia, don't be childish. I told you I'd walk out. This is it.
But you'll have to leave the firm, too.
It'll be a pleasure. Half a dozen shirts and a tie will do for now. You can pack the rest of my stuff. I'll send for it. The flat's yours, honey.
Oh, please, Jeff, can't we talk it over?
We've been talking it over since our honeymoon, remember?
Who are you ringing?
A pub. Do you expect me to sleep in the park? Hello. At the ambassador's. Single room bath for tonight. You manage it? Oh, fine. Huh? G.A. Pilgrim. Pilgrim. P-I-L-G... Yes. Pilgrim. Right, goodbye. Well, cheerio, Marcia. I'll be at the office till about midday tomorrow, I expect. After that, I'll let you know. Goodbye. Better luck next time.
He's gone. My husband's gone. And I know it's all my fault, and I've only myself to blame. Oh, but he'll be back. I know he'll come back. But what if he doesn't? Oh, maybe Uncle Tristeter can stop him. He must stop him. Oh, what have I done?
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.